autism is on the rise in Australia, and we think of it as a diagnosis people are most likely to get in childhood, because it overwhelmingly is, but diagnoses are also trending up in adults.
Yeah, and it's real. I think it's recognition that people are recognising autism spectrum disorder, and it's, you know, a serious issue. You shouldn't call it mild or severe. It's just that people have different impairments from it and they need to be dealt with, whether you're an adult or a child. And when it's at the more impaired end, you've got to intervene early. And of course, in children, particularly those who are impaired by their behaviours, early intervention is really important.
Totally. But what about people who don't get diagnosed as kids? Autism is on a spectrum, and for people who may have been able to get through school and into the workforce, as adults there can still be a real desire to understand themselves. I've been talking to someone who's feeling this at the moment.
I hyper-focus on things to the exclusion of all other things. So let's say I'm working on some electronics and I might be just on the floor hunched over, and hours will go by and I realize that, you know, I haven't had dinner and the house is now 10 degrees and I'm sort of freezing to death. And the only thing that snapped me out of it is I'm freezing to death and I can't understand why I can't hold the electronics still anymore. I always assumed everybody sort of got lost in focus like that, but they don't.
This is Jeremy Krukel. He lives in a small town in regional New South Wales, but as you may have guessed from the accent, grew up in Canada.
I just felt always sort of a little bit different in social situations, and I still have difficulties reading some social situations.
Recently, he's been wondering whether that something a little bit different might be autism.
At the time, I was watching this show called The Good Doctor, which you might be familiar with, and It's an autistic surgeon. Some things that the doctor was doing where I was just like, I don't know why people got upset when he did this thing, and I don't know why people reacted that way, like he was doing the right thing. So as time has gone by, I am finding now that, geez, it would be nice to have a little bit more understanding of myself and how maybe I react to things. It would be interesting to have more tools to sort of navigate my way through, because not everyone's thinking the same way I'm thinking, if that makes sense.
Jeremy's not the only person to get to adulthood and wonder whether they're autistic. In the past decade or two, there's been a sharp trend upward in autism diagnoses in all age groups, including adults, according to the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare.
There are lots of different benefits. Really understanding yourself and perhaps, you know, why things have been more difficult, why you struggle to fit in can be so validating and affirming for people.
Dr. Tamara May is a clinical psychologist and research affiliate at Monash University.
For a lot of folks with autism who haven't been picked up in childhood or adolescence, often it's not until they go through a period of burnout or crisis, and often they'll get diagnosed with other things like anxiety and depression. And so, yeah, that preventative piece doesn't happen for them. And so when they get an adult diagnosis, it can make a lot of sense.
There's a lot more awareness of what autism is these days than there used to be, but a definition is tricky. It's a brain difference. Autistic people's brains think and process information differently, and they socialise and communicate differently to non-autistic people. You've probably heard that autism exists on a spectrum. That means these differences are more pronounced in some people than in others. For some on the spectrum, this makes the world particularly hard to navigate. But also, because autism is on a spectrum, it can be really difficult to diagnose.
There are three different levels of severity for autism, level 1, 2, and 3, and 3 is the most severe in terms of the functional impact. But there's also very little guidance in our diagnostic and statistical manual, which we use to make these assessments. So it often comes down to clinical judgment about the level of functional impact on a person's life. Can they work? Can they function socially? How much care and support do they need in their lives?
Once that diagnosis comes, what are the sorts of changes that people make, or the sort of improvements in quality of life that people typically see?
One of the big ones is finally to stop blaming yourself for being defective or bad or not good enough. You understand that you have a different neurotype. Your brain works differently, and you need your environment and the world around you set up a bit differently so that you can thrive. So it can lead to this acceptance of yourself, you know, growing self-confidence, self-awareness, and then you can start to change things around you. Like maybe your job needs to be changed a little bit. Maybe you need adjustments or accommodations. Maybe you need to work part-time or even change to a job that's more suitable to your strengths. So it's all about understanding what your strengths are and then structuring your life around that.
A year or so ago, Jeremy decided to look into his suspicion that he was autistic, and he booked an appointment with his local GP.
And I was sort of met with this wall of like, don't be ridiculous. You know, I expressed these things and I explained sort of why. And it seemed just like, no, I don't think that's realistic. Like, you're here talking to me about it. That's not what an autistic person would do. And I'm kind of like, well, I don't know if it's what an autistic person, like, what is that?
Still a bit tricky for adults to find the right clinician to get diagnoses. There's still a lot of education that needs to happen in sort of the primary healthcare system, like GPs, et cetera, because often they are not fully aware of how autism might present in adults and also the process of, you know, what to do next.
But Dr. Tamara May says it is getting better.
Certainly in the last couple of years, I'm seeing a lot more psychologists who are gaining experience in this space and are offering autism assessments and often by telehealth now as well. So there is more access, but it's just slowly sort of filtering through and people slowly becoming aware of this, including GPs and the like, who are usually the first point of contact for folks when they suspect they might have something like autism going on.
So yep, getting that diagnosis as an adult can be helpful for an individual. But it's not just them that benefits.
A lot of these folks who have undiagnosed adult autism really struggle in their day-to-day life. There's an impact to their families, to their productivity. Often they're not able to work. They have to take periods of sick leave. Often they have secondary mental health and physical conditions, which severely impacts on them and their families. So I think there is so much value in funding autism assessments, for example, and getting people the support they need, because then they can work productively to their ability, et cetera, and, you know, have less burden ultimately on the mental health system because they're not feeling depressed and anxious anymore because they know what's going on and they're getting support for it.
Then there can be a flip side.
There can also be a real period of grief. They haven't got support in their younger years and it's led to a lot of difficulties, a lot of secondary mental health problems, a lot of struggle just with functioning and trying to, you know, achieve like neurotypical folks and finding that they struggle with that.
Right. You're sort of regretting the time that you could have had if that diagnosis had come earlier.
Yeah, exactly. If they've got support and care and understood themselves, they could have set up their life so that they really thrived. To have to kind of learn that later in your life and then change things up is really difficult, but a really important and helpful process for people to go through so that they can, you know, not stop struggling day to day with just coping with being in the world.
What about when someone's coming to you looking for a diagnosis and actually it's not your opinion that it is autism?
That's really tricky, but usually that emerges in the assessment sessions. We go through the different diagnostic criteria for autism, the different traits and symptoms that folks might have. And I will talk it through. You know, it appears like you might not have these kinds of difficulties, and then try and work on what else might be going on for the person. A lot of folks will have what we might call subclinical traits of autism where they don't quite meet the criteria. They might have two of the three social communication differences, for example. And it's a case of just trying to be open and working through that with the person and exploring what else might be going on for them.
For Jeremy, after that false start with his local GP, he's on the fence about where to go next. Even exploring the idea that he might be autistic has helped him understand himself better and make adjustments that have improved his life and his relationships. But he's not ready yet to give up on the idea of a formal diagnosis, whether that's yes, you're autistic, or no, you're not.
And yes, I have done a little bit of research on the internet, but I don't want to be one of those people that's labeled as they've done research on the internet. Yeah, it would just be helpful if there were other tools. I'm sure there's a heap of things I'm missing. I know I'm missing facial expressions, but I didn't realize how many I'm missing. You know, I got glasses in my early teens, and I didn't realize, I assumed everybody saw the way I saw, but I don't have any reference point until someone gave me an eye test and put some glasses on me. And I was like, whoa, I can see so much better now. And they're like, well, this is what everybody sees. And I was like, oh, geez. Okay, well, now I know. So I feel like it's kind of going to be that sort of situation if it's the go. And that's what I'm sort of learning along the way, I suppose. Whether it's autism or not, I'm definitely missing a lot of social cues, a lot of facial expressions and things like that.
So that's Jeremy Krukel, and we also heard from Dr. Tamara May, a clinical psychologist and research affiliate at Monash University. And Norman, I found Jeremy because he got in touch after an episode of What's That Rash?
Really? Yeah, well, what's that rash where we answer your questions? But I mean, just on the autism spectrum story, people think it's a spectrum. It goes from mild to severe, but it's a spectrum in terms of the sort of symptoms that people get. And some symptoms can be quite disabling, even though to all intents and purposes, you might miss the fact that some people are on the spectrum. And psychiatrists and psychologists who are seeing people with anxiety and depression, what might sit under that is actually a spectrum disorder such as ADHD or indeed autism spectrum, producing the stresses and strains and stigma that they produce.
Yeah, and as I was speaking to people for this story on background, a real strong message that I got is that we shouldn't be waiting for people to be broken before we sort of help them understand themselves and move forward, which is what happens is that people are on the spectrum who are kind of struggling with this are doing so much work to mask their autistic traits that it takes a mental toll on them. So acting early is good.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.